Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's interesting you said what I caught. I don't know what everybody else heard, but I heard, I'm thrilled you're here. And then
it was worth it about that. I said I made a million notes.
Oh, well, good. Then maybe you just want to take the lead.
I've got a lot to say. You'll have to put up
good.
With it.
Good.
More than
that's
usual,
great.
Which is a lot.
That's good. Yeah. So, so I'll let you take the lead, my dear.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here, all three of you.
There's four, by the way. You miscounted.
Oh, Jay's here.
Jay and Rayla and Marge and Dawn. And Dawn. Of course, we're paying Dawn to be here.
I was going to say that. I was going to say, thanks all three of you. And two of you have to be in the other one's my mom. Thank you, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
All right. I think we better get into the prayer before I get myself in trouble. All right. Thank you, God. Thanks for this opportunity. And thank you that I'm beginning to see it as a real opportunity. I'm excited about and knowing my divinity. And sharing that. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. While we are at Peter 1, chapter 3, verses 17 to 22, that we needed to back up to verse 9.
Okay, because that's what I've got marked. So I'm with you, and we'll just back up to where you want to be. I'm cool. Okay, go.
So on page 431, verse 9, it says, look well and remember that what you see comes from you. If it is not that which you would have yourself see, let what you see go and do not hold on to it. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's not given it much attention, but that whole holding on to things is, I think in the very end, that's all we're going to be doing is releasing everything. Mm. Release, release, release. And that's going to be our final step to be one with God. I don't know.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Connie. I think that's the key. I think that's all that this journey ever is releasing what's not true.
Yeah. And the fact is this journey's just not true. remember, Marge, you remember John DeRuiter? I think that's what he said years ago is that those finals, you made all these all inspiring steps, you decided that you were not in need of all that power that you grasped for, and your last step is still a release of everything that you think you need or have. Or always keep your true desire close in your mind. I think we're talking about the spiritual aspiration there, don't you? When you see misperception and feel confusion or guilt or fear it seems to bring, drop to your knees in symbol of returning to the desire of the heart. Quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. Ask what it is that you truly want and return your mind willingly to its source. In this way, the misperception is released in faith and an answer, which is true perception, is given, that your mind may be given back to peace. I think Holy Spirit here is equating confusion, guilt, and fear with misperception. I think somewhere it's said that anything that's not of joy, love, peace is a misperception. Okay, so now we're back to where we thought we were supposed to start.
Yeah, I had marked page 433, so I thought we were on chapter 4, but yes, let's go.
Okay.
Going.
So 17 through 22 is packed. And it says, it is through your release that misperception is taken away. You release it, it's gone. I mean, it's almost goes without saying. If you can release it, it's gone. When you choose to hold on to misperception, suffer with it willingly, you ask it be given. And it is given as you ask. But when you let go of misperception and trust there is another way to see, misperception is released through your request, and the light of heaven shines on perception, that the light of heaven may be seen. You have asked, and so you receive. So it occurs to me that when it says you choose to hold on to misperception and you suffer with it willingly, you have asked that it be given, and it is given as you ask. So that's kind of a reenactment of the whole original separation.
Tiny man idea. I said the tiny man idea.
Yes, tiny man idea. I think our dad always explained it like, you know, we play with the idea of misperception, of separation. I mean, and so God said, well, now you've looked at that. Now you're ready. Let's get on back here. And we said, well, wait a minute. I want just another minute to look at this. And so if we had everything, because we were home in the heart of God, to not have everything, you would have less than everything. So if you had less than perfect love, you had confusion. If you had less than peace, you had war. So Holy Spirit is saying here, you suffer with it willingly. And it, you ask that it be given, but when you let go of the misperception and trust there's another way to see, misperception is released through your request, and that's the miracle.
And it really comes down to letting go of your conviction about who you are, who we are, my conviction about who I am. So it's kind of like Mom told us, you know, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And usually we choose being right.
Even though our mom told us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and of course, miracles told us, you know, you need to give up everything that you hold is valuable. That's what has to be released. All those beliefs about who we are, who others are, what the world is. Those are the misperceptions. And, you know, and Holy Spirit's like, everything's great. Nothing needs to be done. Nothing needs to be fixed. And you're like, no, I got to make sure so-and-so does this right. And I got to make sure I got enough money in the bank. And I got to make sure I got it. And all of those, even though, you know, on some level, we know it's true, or we at least intellectually have read it and would like to believe it's true. We don't believe it's true. We believe all those things that we have invented about ourselves, that we need money, that we need respect, that we need blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and somewhere in preparation for this class, I was reading, because this, I was reading about the miracle, because when it says, but when you let go of misperception and trust, there's another way to see, misperception is released through your request, and the light shines on perception. And the light of heaven may be seen, and all that's talking about the miracle, which is just another way of seeing. It's seeing with true perception, which is seeing like the course was talking about from the real world perspective. And then I love this last sentence, and it took me a minute to get that at the very bottom of the page. It said, "Remember this, that you may choose to ask differently." And that's what you're alluding to, that we think we have to have all these things, but really all we're asking for is to know and love and experience the love of God, which is our rightful inheritance.
Yeah.
And where we've been asking from the ego, or, I don't know, money, respect, or we're asking from the chattering mind that thinks it knows something, when that's laid aside and released, not held on to, then we're in congruency with the Holy Spirit, which of course is our voice for God.
Yeah, so it becomes, would you rather be right about who you think you are, or would you rather know the truth? And we go, I'd rather know the truth. Ah! because it seems to be difficult. It seems to be difficult. It seems to be painful. It seems to be all those things to let go of our beliefs about who we are. And that's why it requires a total commitment to the truth. That's why it requires a focus on and a reminding of ourselves what our true desire actually is, and that's to know the truth.
Yeah, and I think that's the willingness that they're talking about here, yeah. is staying focused on your willingness, and that willingness is going to be all kinds of breakthroughs for you, as long as you're able to maintain that willingness. And that's why I think that this lesson is meant today, because because I, you know, at work I seem to have lost sight of some of this.
We do that. Do you want to tell more?
Well, Debbie's not here. Everything I know.
Say it again. You broke up.
I said Debbie's not here, so don't tell everything I know.
Right.
No, I'm being funny, but that's the office manager.
Also, yeah, your just sister.
Also, my sister. You know, I had a bad experience a few years ago where the story is somebody took something that doesn't belong to them. And I've been mad about it ever since, I think. Mm. Less than trusting, less than tolerant, and all those things. So it just seems to me that this lesson is for me to get back into my willingness, I can see the light of day and step through this fear. And this next chapter 4 speaks to that a lot. So,
okay.
I think we got one more sentence here in 3, so I'll read that. Which is exactly right on, of course, when it says, you are the leader of your own awakening. The gifts you are given are the gifts you have asked to receive. Okay, there you go. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're on 432, NTI 1, Peter chapter 4. Man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he makes decisions to avoid his fear. Only he cannot turn away from that which he cannot see. Because he is blind to it, it follows him. Because it follows him, he continues to run and hide. Yeah, so man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he's fearing. And that shows up and it's pervasive in our life and we're not even aware of it. It's subtle and pervasive. I mean, you're suspicious of everyone, your vendors, contractors to do work, you know, just suspicious of everyone. You're fussy about everything. I mean, that's fear. If it's love and joy here. So you're not generous with your money. You're not generous with your time. You're grumpy. All those things are indications that we're in fear, and we're trying to avoid our fear instead of, so we're blind because we're trying to avoid it.
I think that's an excellent point. And that's why, that's what we talked about a minute ago. I think, you know, it's like, would you rather be right, you know, to be fearful? Would you rather that all those things be true? Or would you rather know the truth? Or would you rather be happy? And you're like, I'd rather be happy. And then you're like, but then you have to walk through that fear, seemingly.
You have to walk the walk.
Yeah. To get to the other side, you got to walk without a net. You got to walk that tightrope with seemingly without a net. And of course, that's where faith comes in. But to the one who's used to listening to this guy all the time, the judge, the ego, whatever, it seems like a scary walk.
Yes, you're exactly right. You do it in faith or trust for a little while until you see the reality of it. You have to do it in willingness, and that this thing goes on and on about the willingness, and that's going to take us there. So being willing to be generous with your money, being willing to be generous with your time, being willing to be generous with your point of view that somebody else might be right. Just, you know, generous in spirit.
Mm. Sweet.
Right. Verse 5. Fear is a misperception. Why? It is a misperception because there is nothing to fear. Pretty straightforward. In his imagination and in his running, what man runs from is his imagination, and in his running, he imagines more. Yeah, so that... that imagination that we're talking about is that mind wandering, or that monkey mind, or it's that you know, on our shoulder that's always talking in our ear. This is what Jesus taught as a from the cross. There's nothing to fear. Well, come on, folks. If Jesus can be on the cross and not have anything to fear, well, surely we can get over our petty crap, right?
Yeah,
and he knew that there wasn't anything to protect. There's not his body, or not and so he wasn't afraid.
Yeah, that was his life's lesson. I mean, that's why he willingly did what he did, right? That's why he was like, not running, and, you know, like when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you hear Regina talk about it. I haven't been there, but she's like, you can see everything for miles. He knew those guys were coming to get him, right? to crucify him. I mean, he knew what the gig was up. He could have slithered off into the night, right? Snuck off into the night, but he didn't do that. He willingly faced it. Now, you know, he struggled with it a little bit, but he willingly faced it because his life was proof of exactly that. There is nothing to fear. And he knew that.
Yeah. So what a symbol for what little we're asked to give up, right? Our seemingly sacrifices, our seemingly petty. You know, and all that is just to what's really bizarre about all that. All that is just to keep an identity in place that we don't even really want.
Yeah. Yeah, the one we're supposedly trying to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, so this is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear. This have become ready to accept. I'll agree with that. I'm ready. To live without fear is to live without imagining. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire. By keeping the mind in the now and in the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining. And so there is no imagining of fear. Yeah, so if we can stay present and without interpretation, we become the witness.
Yeah.
And we live a life without fear. And not only do we live a life without fear, we live a life in joy.
Yeah.
And that's quite a promise. And I know we've all had some inkling of that, maybe most of it more than that. So we know that this is true.
You know, it's funny how it's all a piece, how it's, you know, how the absence of listening to the mind chatter is the same thing as being fully present to the reality of now, you know, being fully in the now, you know, so it you know, kind of like chicken or the egg thing. But, you know, for me at this point, it's like listening to the mind chatter or the judge or the coach or whatever is, you know, it's the ego or the mind chatter that makes up a problem and then tells you how to fix it. You know, and so you're like, yeah, yeah, tell me more. What's the problem? What do I have to avoid? Yeah, 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 tell me more, right? And so you're totally not present for what's actually going on, either with that situation that it's telling you should be afraid of, or just like, you know, the mountains out here in the that I can see in the, you know, in my window. Because I'm listening, because I'm focused on this stuff.
And we're missing all of it when we're focused there. We're just, you know, we don't even have appreciation for the mountains in the background, right?
Yeah.
We don't have appreciations for our brother.
Yeah.
All we're about at that point is protecting this identity that's screwed up. What did Rayla say? Something about...
She says, maybe we did before we did like Jesus in the garden. Maybe, oh, got it. Thank you, Rayla. Maybe we die before we die like Jesus in the garden.
Yes. Yes. What a great symbol that is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rayla.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So to live without fear is to live without imagining. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire. By keeping the mind in the now and in true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining. And so there is no imagining of fear. Whenever fear seems to come over you, ask, what am I doing now? You will see that you are imagining and that you are imagining fearfully. Remind yourself that in imagining fearfully, you are creating your own misperception. Dumbass. Be willing to let go of this activity. Okay. And the action of creating fear is to let go by you. And the action of creating fear is let go by you. Yeah. Fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. That's what, I'll read this last sentence. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. Yeah. So I think that's was Regina's Sunday lesson, wasn't it? When she was saying that what you give your attention to.
Frankly, I can't remember the Sunday lesson, so I can't comment really on that. I mean, sounds right.
Yeah, you know, all your power is where you're giving your attention. Your whole world is where you're giving your attention. Your whole focus, all your strength, all your willingness, all your devotion, it's all there in your attention. So this because we've been told that we can get rid of that monkey mind and be present by not participating with it, not giving it our attention.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. As it says, fear is an action verb. You create the fear and then you go, I'm afraid. Well, quit creating the fear. And you create the fear by giving your believing attention to the mind that says, to the mind chatter that says, you need to be fearful. I have your best interest at heart. You need to be fearful. Let me tell you how we're going to protect you.
Yeah. Let's compare you with this and let's, you know, do all these contracting actions that really don't have your best interest at heart, instead of you just being open without interpretation, witnessing to the experience that's going on.
Yeah. Can you imagine, I mean, back to the Jesus thing, can you imagine sitting there in that garden and seeing those guards with their torches at night coming to get you? What do you think the mind would be saying? Get the heck out of here. Go now, you still have time, go now, go right now. Go now.
Yeah, or up on the cross going, you fool, you didn't run.
Yeah, going, you SOBs down there, you know. Instead, he's going, you know, they don't know what they're doing. It's okay, guys. I forgive you. Y'all don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, Byron Katie used to say, and I probably brought this up more than once, that when she counseled with some of those folks that went through that, when the Americans were out torturing people with the dogs and all that stuff. Remember all that crap? That part of our history?
No, but go ahead.
You know, they had, when Bush was in office and those people that were being tortured, when she would counsel with them, they said, their biggest fear was their expectations of the torture that was about to come. The
fear of what was going to happen next was greater than the pain that was actually inflicted while they were being tortured. I've heard you tell me that story before. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see how.
Yeah.
Yes. The anticipation being in their monkey mind, it's saying, oh, this is going to be bad. You're never going to feel, wish you hadn't done this and blip, 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 and, you know, and all that stuff and stuff. You know, the same that Jesus could have easily felt on the cross or in the coming, not in the right mind. Can we move on?
Sure.
Return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart. Yeah, return your mind to God. In this way, you return your mind to love. A mind in tune with love cannot know fear, because fear, which is not real, is the opposite of love, just as unreality is the opposite of reality.
Yeah, and again, I would just reiterate there that, you know, when it says return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart, you know, not to protecting the integrity of the self, you know, the my belief in the cohesiveness of the self. It's like, no, I'd rather know the truth. I mean, those seem to be the polar opposites in this paragraph. And then it does the same thing with one is love and one is fear. You know, trying to maintain this integrity of the person, this cohesiveness of the person is the cause of fear. This is the unreality. So we've got, no, I want to know the truth at all costs.
Even if, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just trying to make your point.
Yes, please.
Even even if who I seem to be would fall apart in this recognition,
yes,
either by me or by the person that's standing in front of me, and they're gonna see the true me if I'm not protecting it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This cohesiveness that you're talking about. Exactly. Oh, you know, yes. Connie, she's pretty nice, but I don't know about that action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're protecting all the time, this identity that we've made up. Instead of letting it fall apart.
Yes. Yeah. And it's that, and it's that duty to maintain that identity that we feel, you know, that this one's talking about, right? That keeps us in fear.
Yes. Oh, you better do that because they're going to know the truth about you. You're not all that you cracked up to be.
Yeah, or, oh, you better call her back, or, you know, oh, you better take that job. I know you hate that work, but, you know, you got to, Connie lives in a house. She got to pay for the house, right?
Yeah, or like you were talking about your neighbor. Oh, she didn't wave. What does that mean? Oh, there she waved. Okay, I think it's all right.
I love her. I mean, you know. Yeah, but those are the contrasts. And again, so the choice is, and it talks about the desire of the heart. The desire of the heart is to know the truth. You know, damn the torpedoes, right? To heck with all of that. Let's go right through to the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny. You can almost see this coming. Okay. Are you going to step up and know the truth, or are you going to protect this little identity? Oh, you did it. You protect that damn identity. All right.
We're on the fringe of our etiquette issues here. If we say damn one more time, Don's going to kick us out of the room.
Okay. Sorry, Don. Fear comes from judgment, which is also imagination. But it is imagination you have declared real. Mm-hmm. This is where you must stop and learn the difference between what is real and what is unreal. So what you declared real, your judgment is what you think you know.
Yeah, what you think you need to do to protect yourself, what has to be done, what she just did, what that means, right? So that's your judgment is based on your belief that what this mind chatter tells you is real. And this mind chatter is representative of the I that you think you are.
Right, exactly. It's that imagination that the Holy Spirit's referring to here. The judgment, which is also imagination, it's that monkey mind that thinks you do know.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you don't get to be a part of the experience because you're not willing to just be open and participating without the judgment.
Yeah. And Rayla notes that includes the belief in attack, right? That attack could be real.
Yes.
That you're vulnerable to attack. Yeah.
Right. Unreality is illusion, and illusion is everything you experience now. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Every thought that comes from the mind of the person is perception, because the belief that you are a person is a misperception of all. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real.
That's so powerful. It's like, okay, that's simple. And it's simple until your person is challenged. Until the protector of the person, this judgment, this monkey mind goes, oh, you better do this. Then you're like, oh, It sounds simple, but sometimes you just see how invested you are in the belief that you're a person when you're asked to choose. Are you going to call her back just because that's the thing to do? Or are you just going to wait for the prompt to call her back or whatever it is, right? I mean, and it's like, are you going to try to up with her because you want her to think you're a good person? Or are you just going to let things be, see how they play out, right?
Yeah, not be dictated to a life by this glob of misperceptions.
Yeah,
the monkey mind. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what we do. What do I do now? Okay, I'll do that.
You're so smart. Yeah, and you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of Byron Katie's inquiry, where she's taking somebody through that step of that first step. They're going, is it true? Do you know it's true? And you know, every once in a while, she gets somebody on there that just can't quite make that leap of going.
Heck, maybe it's true. He really did. He really was a jerk.
Right? They just can't quite make that leap of maybe it's not true, so that the perception can be changed and the miracle can take place. So at that point, she may say something to the effect that, you know, in reality, what's happening in reality? Oh, what that reality is what I don't think is true. Okay. If that's what's happening in reality, that is the truth. So you have to break it down. So she breaks it down to the very simple step like that. Okay, so we're on 433, middle of the page. You have judged the thought of person as something that is real and separate from God. You have judged the person as having life that is cut off from life, and so it cannot survive. And you have placed your mind within this person and said, this is all that I am, so that you have limited yourself to your judgment. What a trap. This is why you live in fear. The judgment of person you have deemed condemned, the judgment of person you have deemed condemned, and then you have declared, I am no more than my own judgment. That's Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, anybody that would want me as a member of their country club, I don't want to be a member. We judge ourselves, and then we're really hard on ourselves and don't like anybody that would like us. But now I ask you to look at this thought with the eyes of reality. One cannot place judgment on all that he is, so he must not be limited by that which he has judged. What does this mean? That's a good question. It means that you believe in illusion, but illusion is not the truth of you. It means that you look on misperception, but you are the one that declares misperception is true. You hate yourself for what you have done, but this is because you think you have done something real. I say you have not done something real, nor are you the one that you think has done it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, we're talking about, seeing ourselves as limited beings. I am limited to this point of view. Look, I would wake up tomorrow if I didn't have to go to work, if I didn't have to deal with these jerks, if I didn't have to protect myself, I would wake up. I'd be so awake, right? Wait. You're the one who makes up if you're the one who makes up those limitations, and then you live by them and go, gosh, I wish I was awake.
Yeah.
and we feel forced into it because we forget we are actively engaged in placing those limits upon ourselves, actively and defending hard our right to be limited. And then we want to whine about it because we're limited. And all the power is right there. The power is, just like you said when you pointed to Regina's talk last week, the power is in where we place our believing attention. You can keep it with this thing, this story, this fictional character you've created. You can keep it with that and continue to live in your limitedness, or you can say, enough. When given that opportunity, and we're given that opportunity every day, every second of every day.
Yeah, and we are given that opportunity. And as you and I have said over and over again, we have those barometers when those negative things pop up, anything that's less than love and joy and peace and happiness, when any of those pop up, there's the opportunity to be the heart, to be there's a choice. I mean, you can take the way we've always done it in the past and cow down to that and react to that, or you can say, I've got something here pointing me to a contracted way of being, and this is not who I am. This is not the truth of me. You ain't me. And be the truth of us. Be the generous of spirit. Be the opposite of what this fear and contraction is calling us to be. Be willing to be open to, you ain't me. Be willing to be open to the expansiveness which is God.
And just like you just referred to the movie Revolver, which of course is this month's movie, but he talks about the problem is it hurt. Ouch, that pinches. It pinches. It hurts. It's hard to stand in that elevator when you're scared of tight spaces, right?
So yeah. And
yeah. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, and it's hard to stand there and not defend yourself when you're perceiving some kind of attack.
Yeah.
But the call is to know, be generous with spirit, and there's no need to defend yourself to know that.
Yeah, what are you defending?
Exactly. Okay, so Holy Spirit says on the top of 434, step back from illusion and rest with me, for you are lost within the web of misperception. By letting go of what you think you know, I can show you what you do not see. So just by not being willing to not know, to not draw conclusions, to not make judgments. Now I'm open to the miracle of seeing this another way.
Yeah. In fact, I was listening to an audio of Adya Shanti, who talked about, you know, that really is the path. to awakening is being willing to live in the not knowingness. I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what anything means. I don't have any predictions. I'm not going to look to my past to tell me what this is. You know, the Course says all of that too, but it's just very, very clear. Living in the not knowingness is the path to liberation.
Yeah, because whenever we think we know, we're making a judgment. And our judgments are our misperceptions, which are fear-based.
Which keeps you trapped in fear. So, you know, the question is liberation from what, right? I want to be liberated. Liberated from what? From being trapped in these fear thoughts, right? I mean, what else would you want to be liberated from? From the pain, from the suffering, and it all comes from fear. Love or fear, as the Course told us. You got two options.
Yeah, the miracle is escape from the concepts.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Yeah, and I think the whole willingness thing is just the willingness to keep the forefront in our mind as these things come up. Okay, I'm talking about
the willingness, you broke up a little bit, so I just want to clarify. The willingness is to keep what
that in the forefront of our mind, the not knowing, because you know the knowing is the condemnation. The knowing of the ego or the knowing of the chattering mind is the condemnation. You know, I know what they're up to.
Right.
You know, they don't deserve that good of a tip. I didn't get it. They only asked me about what I wanted to drink once at the beginning. I mean, you don't know anything. You make all these assumptions about everything, but you don't know anything. And they're all fear-based. You know, to believe that I know what's going on with the waiter and why I didn't get that refill that I wanted is an assumption. It's an erroneous, fear-based assumption that keeps me locked in a cyclical pattern instead of doing the stepping back from illusion and resting with the Holy Spirit. I'm locked into... Because I think I know something, I am locked into this pattern that keeps me trapped.
Yeah, and ultimately the condemnation is condemnation of yourself.
That too. How are we doing on time?
Looks like we got 4 minutes, according to the clock on my desk. Let me see what the computer says. Exit full screen. The computer says we have 4 minutes as well.
Okay.
Do you want to start the next chapter or no? Up to you.
I don't care. I got a lot of notes.
Well, we better use them.
All right.
We'll start the next chapter.
You are the leader of your own awakening. Lead yourself not by guilt, but by willingness. So by that whole willingness, I think we've talked about it, that opens us up to the possibility of what might be rather than our negative thoughts. Guilt is a witness to your misperception. By following the feeling of guilt, you stay in the web of misperception. That's that perpetual loop. Remember that perpetual loop we used to talk about?
The perceptual loop. Yeah, it's what we talk about. Yeah, which is perpetual as well. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing about it is it seems like we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that same voice that goes,
you're not doing being a person right. You know, you're not being a good boss. You're not being a, you know, whatever, a good tipper at the restaurant. You're not being a good sister. I mean, whatever that voice is going to tell you, oh, and by the way, you're screwing up this whole spiritual thing too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the voice. That's that voice. So you cannot lead yourself to letting go of that voice, but still listening to it going, oh, I'm guilty. Oh, okay. I mean, that's still paying it homage. So it's got to be, there's got to be another way to lead yourself, not by guilt, but by your willingness to know the truth.
Yes. Yes. By making a commitment to your spiritual aspiration, or by making a commitment to happiness, that whole list of things that Regina gave us some time ago, a commitment to be love, a commitment to be generous of spirit, and as important as anything, just being present and knowing that you don't know, that your chattering mind does not know. So you can stop listening to it. I'm done.
What do you want? Okay. Well, you done good, honey. Yay. Your mother's clapping.
Well, my poor mom would have to clap. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your thank you for your comments and your participation. We love you dearly, and we will see you next week. And Dawn, I will give you the chapters and verse. Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks. It was fun. Bye.